everybody. My name is Hannah, in case you haven't picked up, and I am, I guess, kind of a student, about to go back to uni. And I want to be really honest with you all, right from the outset, that when I got the service rota for this term, I saw my name down to preach, and I was like, oh, excellent, that's exciting, love that. And then I looked across to the next column and saw that I was preaching on rest. And I felt really, really challenged. Because if I'm honest, rest is probably the thing in my day-to-day life that I find the most challenging. And that's for several reasons, partly because I genuinely really enjoy being busy, partly because I'm not very good at saying no to things, but also partly because of the world and the culture that we live in. You see, we live in a world that never stops. Shops are open late, 7 days a week. Texts and emails can be sent and received at any time of the day or night. Social media is constantly spewing out fake news and images of friends or celebrities who seem to live these sort of seemingly perfect lives. We have cars, taxis, buses, Ubers, always ready to take us to the next place that we need to be. Technology has advanced so far that we have a whole world of information and possibilities at the tap of a button. And in and of themselves, all of these things are convenient to us, right? You know, it's never been easier to travel, to communicate, to buy what we need, to research, to learn. But the problem is that all of these things are constant. Despite having so many time and energy-saving devices, we don't step back and give ourselves more time to rest, but we pedal faster and faster, working harder and harder to pack more into every day. We live in a world that simply never stops. And the result of this is that we are exhausted. Physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, we need rest. And in today's world, rest is something that seems so countercultural, yet it's a concept that is so deeply ingrained throughout the Bible. So right from the opening chapters of the Bible, we encounter rest. In Genesis 1 and 2, we read of a God who spends 6 days creating heaven and earth and things on the earth and in the sea, and then spending the 7th day resting. Genesis 2, verse 3 says, "Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." And that shows the importance of resting, doesn't it? The 7th day was the one that God declared to be holy, not the 1st day when he created light, or the 6th day when he created land, animals, and humans, but the 7th, the day that God rested. And then many years after creation, when the Israelites, who are God's people, are fleeing slavery in Egypt, they're on their way to the promised land, God gives them 10 commandments, 10 rules to live their life by. And the 4th one of these rules is given in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. And that rule is to take a Sabbath, a day of rest, on the 7th day each week. But rest isn't just an Old Testament concept. We see Jesus do it time and time again throughout the Gospels. And Jesus was a busy man, right? He was often surrounded by crowds of people with urgent needs. He went from preaching in a synagogue to casting out a demon, to healing a sick friend, to ministering to an entire city that was at his door, all in 1 day. But the next day, we read that Jesus left where he was staying very early in the morning and went to a desolate place and prayed. After he had ministered to God, and before he did so again, Jesus rested by spending time alone with God. So rest is a thoroughly biblical concept. And this preaching series we're doing at the moment is based off of a book called Beautiful Resistance by John Tyson. And in his chapter on rest, Tyson describes 4 elements of creating a Jesus-like routine of rest. And conveniently for me, they all begin with the letter R, which is a preacher's dream. So the first of these is to resist. As we talked about at the beginning, we live in a world that simply doesn't stop. So to rest is countercultural, and it takes a real intentionality. To learn the spiritual discipline of rest, we must learn to resist the insatiable desire to do. Now, I'm personally a big fan of writing a to-do list. I like to start my week on a Monday by writing a list of all the things I want to get done that week. And in my mind, this list will look, you know, probably about this long, 5 to 10 things, fairly reasonable, fairly achievable. But there is this really weird thing that happens, right? And I'm sure some of you will relate to me on this, but it's like the minute your pen touches the paper, your mind is flooded with 100 things that you need to do that week. And then throughout the week at work or at home or at school, even more and more things piled on top. And so by the end of the week, our to-do list looks a lot more like this. The point is, there is always more to do. And sometimes we might say to ourselves, yeah, I'll have a day off, but only once I've finished my to-do list. But you know, if we say that, at least for some of us, that day of rest is never going to come. There's always more to do. And the spiritual discipline of rest comes from learning to resist the need to finish everything else first. But actually, our lack of rest goes deeper, I think, than just needing to finish a to-do list. And it can become a real issue of idolatry, which is what we looked at with Rob last week. And idolatry is giving other things the time and the influence and the worship that we should be giving to God. Work becomes an idol when we spend all of our time either working or thinking about work. And I don't just mean work in an employment sense, work at home, work at school, work within the family. And simply put, it takes us away from God. I wonder how many of us are in this room this morning or watching online with our minds worrying about 101 other things that we need to do. When we were singing a moment ago, I wonder for how many of us our worship to God was polluted by what the rest of our day looks like or what we want to achieve this week. Do you know, it can be so easy for work to take over every part of our life, including our spiritual life. So we must resist the temptation to let work define who we are. We must resist the temptation to believe that the world and our lives are purely sustained by what we do. There was a Hebrew scholar, and I'm really sorry if I butcher this name. I've literally been practicing it all week, and I'm not sure I've got it yet. There was a Hebrew scholar called Matihatyu Tsevet, who once said that true rest is an acceptance of the sovereignty of God. And what that means is that rest is us accepting that God is in control. When we accept the sovereignty of God, we stop trying to control our lives and the lives of others around us, and we surrender to God. We say, God, you can have it all. And all of this is not to say that work is bad. It's work and rest are both gifts given to us by God even before sin entered the world. It's just that our work shouldn't take the place that God is holding in our lives. Rest is learning to resist the insatiable desire to do. The second element of creating Jesus-like rest is restoration. Now, imagine someone gave you a day off from all of your work, all of your responsibilities, and they said to you, right, this day is a day where you must rest. I wonder what that day would look like for you. What activities would you do? Where would you be? What food would you eat? Would you spend it with family and friends, or would you rather spend the day by yourself? But my main question is, would this day that you're imagining, would this day truly rest you, or would it just relax you? Would it allow you to truly be refreshed, or would it just distract you for a few hours before you have to go back to work the next day? You see, rest should be restorative. And to restore means to bring back. So our rest should bring us back to our true selves. And this brings me to the next R about Jesus-like rest, and that is remembering our true identities. And that identity is that each one of us here was created by God to be his sons and his daughters, who he loves deeper than we could ever, ever understand. And we're loved like this, not for what we do, but for who we are in him. And there's a verse in Isaiah which explains this for us. And this is the verse that I really want us to sort of focus on this morning. So could I have that slide up, please? Thank you. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." But what does it mean that in rest is our salvation? Well, the Message translation of the Bible gives us a really good summary, I think, of what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah here. The Message translation says, "Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you have been unwilling to do." I'm going to read that again. "Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and to stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you have been unwilling to do." And this is a really important and refreshing reminder to each of us that we can't earn our way into being saved. It's only through God's immense and unfailing love and kindness for us that we are given this opportunity to be made right with him. So let's stop spending all of our time doing for God. True rest is slowing down and remembering that we are not loved for what we do, but for who we are in him. Slow down and let his grace wash over you and refresh you. And finally, the fourth movement of Jesus-like rest is reveling. Reveling in the goodness of God. God has given us so much, so let's spend time feasting on his good gifts. And that means spending time enjoying his word, and maybe spending time talking with him through prayer. It means remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, perhaps through communion, as we're going to be doing in a little bit. But it also means feasting on the gifts that God has given us in this world. We're called to feast on friendship, to enjoy the company of those that we love. We're called to feast on creation, getting out into nature to remind us of our awesome God. We're called to feast on beauty, filling our hearts with painting, photography, poetry, literature. Feast on good and the good gifts. Let me read that again. Feast on God and the good gifts that he has given for us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So rest means resisting the temptation to work and remembering who we are. It means restoring ourselves and reveling in the goodness of God. Now, at the end of last year, I decided that I wanted to become a runner because I thought it's free, it's good for you. What's not to like? Obviously, apart from actually running. And so I decided that my New Year's resolution was going to be to do 52 runs throughout the year. And for the first few weeks of January, this was hard, hard work. Neither my legs, nor my lungs, nor my mind wanted to be doing this weird movement. And they didn't really want to be there. They were struggling. But I'm fairly determined. I'm being held accountable by some friends to complete this resolution. So I persevered. And by February and March, I noticed that I could run for a little bit longer without stopping to walk. And then by April, I found it a lot easier to push through that initial mental block. I say initial, that mental block that you get, or at least I get, when I run. And then in May, I did my first 5K without stopping to walk. And was this journey of getting into running easy? No. Am I the best runner I will ever be? Probably not. Do I approach every single run with elation and joy? Absolutely not. But has running become more natural? Yeah, definitely. To make running into a habit, I had to be really intentional and choose to go out every single week. And because of this, I've gradually sort of built up my running muscles, whatever the official name for them are. And I believe that our rest is a little bit like a spiritual muscle. It might not feel natural or easy at first, but the more we practice it, the better we get, and the more natural it becomes. And similarly, when we stop using those spiritual muscles, they get weaker. So rest takes a real intentionality and consistency to get into the habit of. And the Bible gives us a model of how to make rest part of our weekly routines, and that is through taking a Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were commanded to take a Sabbath, it was one day every week where they didn't work. It was a day devoted to rest and to worship God. And while we're not bound to this law anymore, the model of a Sabbath has a lot of wisdom. It creates an intentional, consistent time every single week that we can escape the busyness of the world around us and spend time restoring our bodies and our souls. And practically speaking, a Sabbath day will look different for each one of us. There's no one right way to take it. It's about creating a routine that brings a real restoration to you. Some of us might choose to spend it with those that we love, while others perhaps may choose to spend it alone. Some of us might choose to get out into creation for the day, but others maybe stay inside and meet God through more creative means. Some of us may choose to make our Sabbath day a Sunday, but for others that might not be possible, so Sabbath might be a Saturday or a Wednesday or any other day. Sabbath is a day when we resist the insatiable desire to do. It's a day that we restore ourselves and remember our true identities in Him. On the Sabbath, God invites us to enjoy His good gifts and reconnect with Him. Sabbath is a day that we truly enjoy spending time with God, whatever that day might look like. But I also want to say to have grace for yourself as well. It's amazing if we can get into that routine of having that day of rest once a week, but sometimes life happens and things get in the way. So, you know, have a bit of grace for yourself. Don't feel guilty if one week your Sabbath doesn't work out like you've planned. But as we said already, just really enjoy that time you do get to spend with God. Now, as I come to a close, Nick, could I have that slide up again, please? Amazing, thank you. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. What are the parts of resting that we find the hardest? Is it putting down our to-do lists and resisting that temptation to work? Is it that we just can't find those things that truly restore us? is actually that we just don't know how God could love us for who we are? Is it that we can't see the good gifts that apparently God has given us in our lives? Whatever that thing that is holding us back, I really want to encourage us to invite God into that this morning, to ask him to break down those barriers that are stopping us from truly finding rest in him. And looking ahead, I want to set a challenge for each of us this morning. So have a think. What can you do better to slow down and rest from the busyness of the world around you? Maybe that challenge is to take a Sabbath on a regular basis. Perhaps the challenge for you is going to be to draw away from the busyness of life every single day. Maybe that challenge is to spend time every single day affirming your identity in him. Whatever that challenge might be for you, I want to encourage you to really commit to it, and we're going to commit it to God this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you that you love us not for what we do, but for who we are in you. Lord, that's just mind-blowing, and we know that we're never going to fully understand that, but we praise you for it. Thank you that you've given us both work and rest as these beautiful gifts that allow us to serve and connect with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to find a balance between the two that allows us to be deeply refreshed. And Lord, you know where, how and where each of us really struggle to slow down. And I just pray this morning that you would highlight those for us. Would you break down those barriers that hold us back from falling back and resting into your arms? Father, help us to build routines of rest where we encounter you and learn more of your heart for us. And Lord, we commit those routines to you this morning. Thank you for all that you've given us. Would we never forget your unfailing love and kindness for us? In Jesus' name. Amen.